You're listening to the Theology of Music podcast. Follow on YouTube and Instagram, support through buymeacoffee.com, and subscribe to the only podcast exploring the hidden ecosystems within the theology of Christian music through unique and uniting conversations.
All right, welcome to the Theology of Music podcast again. One of my favorite things right now is I'm getting all of these people from the Songwriters Retreat that are incredible, incredibly humble, really stinking good at songwriting. And this person is par for the course. This is Mitch Langley is on the podcast, and Mitch and I got to share some what was the food that we got when we went to that one spot? It was like
Thai food.
You were like, get the Thai, bro. Get the Thai. You kind of like goaded me into it. I was going to get like fried chicken. He said, no, get the Thai. And it was actually a very good decision. Thank you for that.
Very welcome.
And this
the art of persuasion.
I was about to say, this is one of the coolest things about who Mitch is. Mitch is one of those people that, as humbly as possible, takes life by the horns and just goes. And
gosh.
If I look at his bio, what's so cool about his bio is it doesn't show just how driven and almost like a workhorse Mitch is. But so when I read his bio, it might even stand in contrast to like really his just amazing drive. So this is Mitch. Mitch passionately desires to lead others to worship Jesus for who he is and what he has done. Mitch has been on the musical journey since 2001. That's a long time. And ever since he got a guitar in his hand, while studying at the University of Kansas, Mitch actually met a campus pastor who introduced Jesus to him. And then his life was forever impacted by God's grace and love. So then he began to discover songwriting and music, and then was going to become a big part of his life and his calling, and it has been. The crazy thing is you're raising four boys, you have a beautiful wife, you live in Kansas, but all the while you're doing all these crazy things, like you're still worship leader full time, right, at a local church, which I love when people that are songwriters are local church leaders or pastors, because then they have a good heart for the church. It's not just like, I'm trying to make it. You know, you're writing songs that work in the industry. Mm. No, you're thinking for the church first, and then God shows you, hey, those do work in the industry. You don't have to change anything.
That's right.
And I love that you're releasing music to make a positive impact and stamp on this world.
Yeah.
And I love that you say you hope that we continue to change the world for good, one life at a time, together. Which was, like, that was you, bro. Like, when we first, your eyes locked on me, and I was like, I'm in this. I can't leave. He's like,
oh,
Tommy, we're
goodness.
Getting Thai food. We're going, what? And we were just vamping off of each other. You are just an incredible guy. Thank you for being on this podcast.
Man, I'll tell you what. When we just met at the writing retreat, it's just like I knew it was just like right away we would connect, and I just even saw kind of your heart. I mean, just right through you, man. Your passion, your energy. We're both kind of high level, like energy, kind of hyper dudes. And you know, I just felt like, man, this guy. There's something special about him. And it was neat just to go grab. Let's go get some lunch. You know, let's get out here and get some food. And obviously, it's just way bigger than the lunch. But really, just excited and humbled to be a part of this. You're really a part of your ministry and what you're doing. So just kudos to you, and may God would hopefully get glory through all this and our discussion today, and it's all good, man.
Yeah. So you know, one of the cool things that people might not know about you, right, is if they follow your music, they know that you're a songwriter, but you also, like, you're not just one of those other artists that are trying to just make a name for themselves. And, I mean, you have some significant things to say. Like, when you go on your website, which is an incredibly done website, but you go to your website and you look at your website, thanks, and there's this little thing about news, and it says Mitch is set to perform alongside a little name called Corey Asbury. I don't know, it's a guy who wrote Reckless Love and became imminently famous because of it. And like, you're doing that. You're going to perform alongside Corey Asbury.
And it was just a month before that, the Lord opened up a door to open up and share, the same stage as Ann Wilson and Austin French. I don't know if it says that on the site, but, that was just the Lord. And, I guess should I be able to speak into that a little bit about those artists and just how that happened? Or
yeah, do it. Well, I was going to say, how'd you get here? I mean, like, you said it in your bio, like, what? How did God get you to this moment where you got to? So, if you want to speak into those artists, but then tell me, like, what, how was the
Lord?
Been
let's go
this?
Back, you know, let's go back half of my life, 20 years ago to 2001. 21 years ago. I was a freshman at KU at the University of Kansas in Lawrence. And, wow. You know, I was a kid who was just, you know, I just had so much energy, but it really was even hard to be channeled as a young kid. And I think a lot of the teachers and a lot of the like youth group, one of my Christian friends, like, I grew up kind of going to church, but my folks kind of didn't necessarily like live that out. So what they were saying didn't match up with what they were doing, you know, behind closed doors. And there was just, you know, nothing against my folks. I wasn't getting like abused. And there's a lot more worse situations that people can, that young people can go through. And I'm lucky that those types of things didn't happen. But there's some feelings of neglect and some feelings of, there's some addiction and just some drugs. And so I ended up like running from that stuff just to kind of get away. And like, I was just kind of always all over the place, maybe not really feeling where my place, like my purpose. So I remember as a kid just growing up saying, man, I know that my Christian buddies and parents, they, Mitch, God has something for you. And I just didn't really understand what they're at all. I never had a clue. Like, what are you talking about? God? Okay, God's real. You know, I believe in the Bible. I believe that Jesus died. He died on the cross for me. Cool. But I still like, man, I want to go have some fun. I just want to be young. It seems like it's just kind of boring. I had friends that were just kind of just always playing video games, hanging out. Like, I want to go do something fun, kind of get into some, maybe a little bit of trouble. But it wasn't until I went to KU where like God met me, you know, full force, right, and just square in the forehead, and said, Mitch, you know, you can't run away from me any longer. And he put a campus pastor, like this evangelistic, like, crazy, on fire, Jesus loving worship guy to like just kind of wake me up. Like, man, Mitch, God has a plan for you that you don't even understand what he wants to do to change lives through you. And I was like, hold up. This takes me back to like, I told him, I said, Eric, I had like, you know, while I had a hard time kind of growing up, and but I had friends and like some Christian families that would speak that into me. But when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, I had no clue what they were talking about. So here you are saying the same thing, that God has a specific purpose and plan for me, which about 3 months later, bro, I end up giving my life to Christ, and my life forever changes. So like you read a little bit of the bio, that's where the musical piece came in. So that evangelist named Eric brought me to the music, a local music store. I got my first guitar, an $80 Yamaha guitar. Just a cheap, just a little guy just grabbed it for me. He's like, man, we're gonna start learning guitar, because I grew up singing. Like, I want my brother, unashamed, you know, really, I wanted to be NSYNC. I wanted to be Justin Timberlake when NSYNC was dropping, you know, the big hits. Bye, bye, bye. You know, yeah, you know, it's like, this stuff's so fun. And it was just maybe not so cool, but we thought it was. And so cool. Maybe I took a little heat for that. They're like, this guy's just lost his marbles. But I wanted to do that. So I sang and did like, you know, choir, and did some other fun things with my voice, but I never had an instrument. I didn't have a clue how to write a song, and really that there'd be a purpose behind my voice. You know, there would be something bigger than me inside of me that God would want to use. So that's where like the worship thing happened, was when after I got saved, I got plugged into the campus ministry, and immediately, like really, really early in my walk, I learned guitar, got chords, started you know, making sense of it all, got on a stage, like got in front and just started leading, like 20, 21 years old kid, like just loving Jesus, but pretty raw, really raw and rough. I wasn't really good at all, but the dude just took like a, you know, he took a gamble on me. It's like, Mitch is going to be used. Let's go. So. Yeah. Just started chasing worship, loving it, man, writing. I started spending time with the Lord, like in song, and just like start like, oh, I'm going to take a stab at writing a song. I think I was 22, 23, and wrote my first song. I don't even remember it, brother. It was probably just epic bad. And but you can't despise small beginnings. Nope. So that was kind of where it was. Music just immediately was a bit part of my life. And then that kind of evolved into worship leading full time. When I was 25, I graduated from KU miraculously. I don't, you know, got my bachelor's. I don't even know. That's a lot of work, but I commend everybody and anybody getting degrees in beyond high school, because it's a ton of work. So praise God. But ended up going into ministry full time. I guess I haven't looked back. I've been vocationally leading worship since 2006.
What? So, wow.
So it's been about 16 years. I've been married for 15 years to Christy. We raised four boys, and I've been full-time worship, just writing and recording and singing and leading in church ever since.
What's so cool about your story, Mitch, is, and I think we forget about this aspect of our lives a lot, right? Like those of us who've been saved for a while, in quotes, right? We forget about how big of a deal it was, right? Especially, right. Especially for someone like you who had someone say, you know, hey, Mitch, like there are better things for you to do right now.
That's right.
And the Lord doesn't want you doing these things. He wants you to do other things. There are things that you could do for his name, and he has for you to do in his name. And, you know, we often get wrapped up in the, like, how should you say, like, well, how should you evangelize, you know? Should we just tell people God loves you and has a great plan for your life, right? It's like, look, it depends on the situation, but God knew what he was doing with you in that moment to say, hey, you remember what I told you when you were younger and you weren't listening?
That's right. That's right.
I want you to hear it now. Someone else is saying the same thing, bro. I need you to turn away from this stuff and turn towards me. I love that.
And that's what it was, because that was, you know, I had things in my life. You know, I wasn't the worst guy, but at the end of the day, there was just everybody's carrying something. And you know, for me, you know, everybody has their vices or their addictions and the sin in their life that's really, kind of just separating them. I mean, before you're a Christian, you're separated. The Bible says we're separated and we're standing dead men and women.
Yeah.
We're really not alive. We're really walking like just, you know, in these bones just with no life.
Yeah.
You know, until we're born again, we discover true life. So when I discovered true life, it was just unbelievably just warming to me, just to know, man, like the purpose thing was so big for me, because I just always wandered around. I got some talent. I'm like kind of got a little talent here and there, okay, this and that, but I just never could put it together, man. Whether it was just through, you know, not having a mentor or just having someone speak that into me as a young person. And my dad was kind of in and out. So anyways, that drew me in, that purpose that like God has a plan and a destiny. And like, it's kind of cliche sometimes, like God, like you said, God has a purpose and he loves you. But at the end of the day, that's where I was at. And man, I needed to hear that. And that was, the rest was history from there.
That is so cool. And I love that what you just said was that the aspect of the Lord having a plan and a purpose, and you know, for someone like you who had been wrestling with purpose for forever, right, that was what the Holy Spirit used to make it click for you. So
that's right.
So when I think it's eminently apparent in every song that you write, right? Like there's all the songs that I've listened to you that you've written are very much about getting people to see that there's a different purpose for their life.
Wow.
Right? Like that there is more for them than what they're experiencing. So I know you're working on music right now. You've worked on music in the past. You have that album. I think it's Ready, right? It's the title of the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what was that in your mind? Like, I need to write songs for this, or was it just a collection of songs? Like, walk me through it.
Man, I mean, even before this record, you know, I've been the kind of the songwriting thing, and I'll just take you back a little bit to my first record was 2009, and I just had a gang of ragamuffins, like four other dudes, and I were leading worship on the campus and just being faithful, and we put a band together. We started writing songs in like the youth room at the church and just got together. It was loud and it was rowdy. It was just totally just ridiculous, the sounds that we were coming to. I mean, again, it wasn't the best piece of music you'd ever hear, but it was something that really, really resonated with us and helped us just come together and forget about everything else going on in our lives and just play music. And so writing those songs early on, like I said earlier, the first song was horrible, but just the progression of just since 2009, I got to go to Nashville in 2013 and kind of get something. That was my first real professionally like full-length record, like a producer in Nashville, a great team around me, and like the hired gun, so to speak. And there's different ways to record, and there's not just one template. I mean, for me, I just felt focused to go really take that next step, like seriousness, and get like the pro level treatment, which again, you don't need to go to if you're an independent artist, you don't have to go to Nashville and spend you know, an arm and a leg, but like I felt called, you know, again, as that purpose and that calling, like, man, got a lot of drive, like deter, like, let's go, I'll go raise money. We'll go get these songs done. So since 2013, for almost the better part of a 10-year period, I've been traveling to and co-writing and recording songs almost every year. And obviously the music industry shifted where I've been like focused on doing singles. So if you look at the discography, I've been kind of doing since 2015, I did like a five song EP and I did full length records in 12, 13, 14. I did a five song EP in 15, a five song EP in 17. And then like a little three song deal in 19. And then to be honest, I just started put a lot of those songs all together onto one record. And then Ready was like a big list of singles that I'd done since 2019. Right. So there's like single. Then I just said, you know, Ready with four new songs, I'm going to put 10 songs on that thing and just put it out. So it's just a collection of singles. And, you know, just I think there's, you know, it's unnecessary, you know, it's just it's unnecessary to go try to record 15 songs. It's tough to find 15 great songs. So I guess encouragement as a writer, everybody, chase the next best, you know, put that investment in that. It's quality over quantity in this thing. And the retreat even said it, man, you know, those guys were saying with Wisdom and the team, you know, it's getting that one song and then putting some energy and some resources and some time and money into that. And so I've been kind of doing that the last 2-3 years of just saying I'm going to hopefully chase a great one and feel good about it and then go record it however way you can kind of get it done. Yeah. So
it makes me think of, gosh, who is it? I had someone on the podcast a bit back who said he's just trying to find the song. He's been chasing the song that he would put on his tombstone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I haven't found it yet. And I thought that was a really cool way to view like songwriting. Like I haven't really written a song that I'd say that's what I want on my tombstone.
Yeah. You
know? And I think that's so cool.
And I would say you're talking about purpose and that in the Ready record, you know, that song that's the titled song, Ready was kind of just that was kind of a neat song. So I was in Colombia with my producer Dominic Gibbs. And he brought in a writer, a great guy, Taylor Agan, who's a signed writer with Wordcur, but he's just a great guy. And we ended up getting time together for half a day. And I presented, I guess just another tidbit for writing was just, you don't have to have the whole, you know, if you're co-writing and if you're trying to get a team around you, you don't have to, don't feel like you have to have pressure to write the whole song. So I had an idea and brought that to the table. And I was like, hey, look, this life is so crazy right now. Do you guys agree? Obviously, they're like, heck yeah, there's no time. All we're doing is filling our schedules, running around in circles, going ballistic with kids events, sports, everything going on. We all know with our careers, with family stuff, with list goes on and on and on. And so I was like, look, we need to write a song. Exactly. Just kind of being able to slow down here, like beginning to hear the Lord again. Like we kind of like when we were young in our faith, right? Mm-hmm. You had this sense of like when he was like, when it just happened, it was just so close and it was so genuine.
Felt so close.
And you felt so close to the Lord, like the fire was so bright. And like we lose that over time. It's not to say that we lose, you know, faith in God and we're just bad Christians. It's just that life happens. And so I just felt like we needed to go back to a place where, you know, we can just say, look, I want to be ready wherever you send me. I want to hear your voice out of all the noise. And so that's kind of where the song Ready came out of. It was just a prayer, you know, from the top of the mountain to the deepest valley low. I want to be ready to go where you call me. And what that requires is to be able to slow down and listen to the Lord, because you will not go. You will go in a total different direction. We sometimes get it wrong. Like, oh, this is the Lord. I feel like the Lord in my heart is telling me to go do this. And we can kind of sometimes in our own minds begin to formulate something that might not necessarily even be the Lord. So we have to be super cautious and discerning to say, man, is this the Lord's voice? And you know, I find out through prayer and through counsel and through just getting time with my with the Lord and my bride and maybe a few men, like if I'm making decisions, like slowing down, tuning to the Lord, and then saying, man, like on big moves or big opportunities, you really want to make sure you don't make the wrong decision. And so that's kind of where the song was stemmed from. So
I love that. And what's the question I think I would love to ask too, because so, you know, as someone people know on this podcast, if they listen, like I used to be a full-time worship pastor. Now I'm not, right? So there's a whole different aspect to how I'm writing songs, but I always loved writing songs while I was in the church. For you, how do you think being a full-time worship leader has impacted either just like the songs you've been writing?
Man, that's an awesome question. For me, it's been really, really encouraging. Like, it depends on, I think it's different. It's case by case and church by church. But for me, I've been able to, with open arms, they've received kind of this thing inside of me, so to speak, the creative. So some churches don't, not that they disrespect their creative in you, but they don't understand the creative in you. And it could be for different reasons. It could be you're not being able to express what's in you clearly, or they might not be just, you know, seeing that. So I had an opportunity in this current position at Westside Family Church in Lenexa to be able to just early on, I started the position in student ministry about five years ago. So I accepted a position into student ministry. Like just student land, like we needed to restructure. We needed to rebuild systems of communication, of resources with song. Like this is an all worship, like, you know, production and chord charts and blood and all the, I won't spare, I'll spare you the details on that. But
bro,
it's a
big, there.
A big mess. It was a big mess. Yes, it was a big mess, but we flipped it up and it was awesome. And like the Lord's hand was on it. So it was about a year into that. And I you know, shifted from there in adult worship. And since then, just be able to like continue to write. And like, so I would share some of the songs with the leaders. Like some, I would, you know, when the Lord, if maybe I wrote a song with a couple buddies or through the collective KC thing that's kind of going on here, and I can speak on that in a little bit. But or just in Nashville, I've been doing a lot of co-writing the last 3 to 5 years, and I would share a song. You know, I would share my, you know, share the song. You know, my heart behind the song, what it means, and just play it. I would just play it with maybe the creative director or some of the leadership, and we would maybe test. We would test run, like, you know, share it to the share it with the congregation and see if it had any like life into it. You know, like
legs,
get some legs. Like, man, yes, this works, or no, this doesn't. And like, I guess the congregation has been really receptive, and they've been very encouraging through the whole process. So my experience has just been so life-giving, so refreshing. It's challenging, and it's not easy still. But like, man, it's just been really cool to see like my own, like being a my job is being a worship leader.
Right.
But even a part of that job and calling is being this creative artist, writing for the Lord, speaking new, you know, speaking hope through the songs and through the congregation. What is this, does the congregation need to hear? What are they going through? And sometimes you write songs, you know, that I'll hear a story through the church, you know, and like we're doing a theme for 8 weeks, a series, and I've written songs evolving around what's kind of going on in the church. So the messaging. Wow. So
yeah, that's so. What's funny, especially like you bring up youth stuff. I mean, I remember so many times of like crazy setup for youth music. I remember one time we were in like an unfinished part of the building and we were building out a building, and we had a corner stage that fit. I mean, it was maybe 10 square feet. Like it was so small, and we had a Bose tower behind us. But what was so cool, and I think it's this is a really good word for people who, like, if you're young in the church, don't use youth group for this, but you could if you wanted to. But like you want to test to see if your song has legs. Do it for a bunch of youth that literally don't care to be there, and if they like it,
that's right. That's right.
That's actually probably a good song. Yeah, if they don't,
that's right.
I guarantee adults aren't gonna like it either.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a good word.
That's a good word, man. And you know, just speaking. You know, kind of just being, you know, the congregation being kind of not a guinea pig, but just like to have that. I mean, there's a level of trust. And I would just say some other speaking into the worship leaders that are artists and sharing, like, hey, how can I use the platform that I have you know, you have a platform. So if you're a worship leader, you have a platform at the church. Don't force that. You know, it'll come. I guess encouragement would be it'll come. The time will come where you can be able to get to the place in your songwriting, in your maturity. So there's many things that are that surround that. It could be the songs aren't ready. It could be you're not ready to handle what God you're not ready to handle that weight. So just be encouraged by that, to know that you're, you know, if that's in your heart and that's a desire, it's just maybe a timing thing. You know, again, I've been doing this for 20 years, so it really hasn't been very long in really the grand scheme of things, of being able to see some, a little bit of just that trust and success with the leadership, with the congregation. You have to massage that gently, but also be able to consistently have that in front of them. Because there's so many things going on in the church world that, like, the songwriting thing, the little collective you're trying to do, kind of just gets pushed by the wayside very, very quick. Because there's not, because they're not caring. And we're creatives, we get all sensitive and get our feelings hurt. Yep. They don't really care about what I have to offer.
Why don't they care about my songs?
My song is so good. You got to hear it. But no, so like we walk through that and we feel those. And those are feelings that we don't want to bury. You just bring those out. But at the same time, just know that it's timing. It's God's working in you. He's growing you. He's growing your songwriting. He's growing your anointing to lead, to communicate through songs. And just that, it's just so good, man. And it's just such a fun dynamic to be able to be a songwriter and be an artist, but also be a worship pastor. And I love the pastor side of it too. So just getting in with the congregation, just if you're on that stage and you, I know that we get introverted sometimes when we're doing transitions and doing the songs and you want to go to the green room and hang out, but like, get out with the congregation. One thing that's bode well for me and that's done well for me is just getting to know the congregation. Go down there, rub shoulders with people, and just share your story. Pray for them, get to know their story. I've done so many lunches and coffees with any different ages, different men, couples, you know, that are just wanting to, you know, be heard too. Just be a listening ear, but also don't be afraid to just speak up and speak out and say, man, you know. So
dude, I love what's so cool too about that is your collaborative. So someone like you, who's incredibly driven, could be often misunderstood as like a lone wolf. But what's so cool about being with you is you're incredibly collaborative. You know, like your drive doesn't just push people away. It actually pushes people towards like a common goal, and it brings people in. It pulls people in. So you talk about this collective. Like, what? How did that whole KC collective start with writing music and everything?
Well, brother, it kind of came out of just like a holy discontent of just being, you said at the former part, you said the tidbit of just being like you'd be so driven that you know, you're almost just the lone wolf. Like, I was kind of up to this point coming into Westside, and I was like feeling like the only kind of creative kind of guy wanting to do this. I'm doing my music, but nothing's kind of, there's no collaboration here in Kansas City. And like, I know there's other artists and songwriters, and obviously, you know, you came into Kansas City and you know, there's 50, you know, not just local, but there's worship leaders and writers, and there's this kind of a community in Kansas City that you can discover. So like, me and a buddy just started feeling like, man, should we kind of get into the city? And like, there's other people like us that are wanting to like write songs, share song stories, being able to like be creative and record music. Hey, is there a local? I told you part of my story is I always kind of just would go to Nashville, get the song recorded. Is there a is there a studio? And is there some producers here? Is there studios? Like, I don't know enough about Kansas City. Like, man, there's got to be something happening. And sure enough, there was. So we kind of just, about 2 years ago, just called it, you know, really just said, call it what it is, a collective. It's in Kansas City. Let's call it the Collective KC, where we're building community and creating content through song stories, through worship, through writing songs, and just through production, through video, that we can be able to just begin to build a community that's safe and a community that you can be heard, that you can come together, write some songs, be able to get some prayer if you need it, eat some food, hang out, just to be able to just kind of be with some other creatives that understand you, that you can just hang with. So that was out of me kind of just feeling like, me being my driven kind of like go, like I'm keep riding, keep pressing, keep rolling. I don't care if nobody's coming with me. This is what I'm called to do. Nothing, not a bad motive, but just you can just start feeling like, man, I'm going to eventually just probably pass out because I don't have any help. And right. So, and this is going to fade out. So it was just a cool thing to see that happen. And so we've kind of have the church's blessing. The collective is kind of, built through the, a little bit of stemming from the church, which is cool. That support. So you need support.
That's so cool.
And so it's, there's spiritual support. There's also financial support. So I know all y'all independent artists and writers and worship leaders, like there's always resource challenges in this endeavor of being a creative. So don't be afraid to go out and get that, too, to be able to say, man, God's calling me to do this. And so we have some funding. We've been able to record some music, and our first single, I guess, to share a little bit of data analytics, which, I'm not a big numbers person, but we had our first single that was tied up thematically with an 8-week series in Kansas City with 300 churches called the One KC Experience. So it was 8 weeks building up to Easter. So I ended up getting the song co-written with my buddy Daniel Doss in Murfreesboro. Again, went down to just trusted Nashville. Let's get this song. Let's get it. Got two writers, went down on mission, got it, came back, presented the song, like I said earlier, present it to the leadership humbly, share your heart, read Revelation. This song's about, uniting our every nation as one, one voice, God's power, dominion, authority on, like, Jesus is our King. We are united forever as one. So, like, the theme was One KC. So that line kind of resonated with the leadership, like, being united as one. We are united, one in the kingdom. Let every nation dance in his freedom. And this is our anthem. That was the song. It hit, praise the Lord humbly. It's my biggest song I've been on, even in my own catalog of personal songs.
Right.
I mean, as far as numbers, I think it's close to 300,000. It was our first single ever. And so that was just the Lord. Jesus is our King, the collective KC. And so the Lord blessed it. He used it. And we have nothing to do with the success. And I've been pumping out songs by my on my own catalog. Wow. And I've never had a song hit 300,000. And not to say that that's anything to boast about, because it's not. But it's just to humbly say, God can use... He'll find a way to get it done, whether or Amen. Not you want to go on that journey or not. He wanted to bless KC with a song, and so just to be obedient, And I was obedient to the plan, and the Lord blessed that. So go That's be so obedient, cool. go be yourself, go trust the Lord for big things, and He'll do something that'll blow your mind. He absolutely blew my mind with the song. Never would have thought the song would have reached the people that it did.
So we typically, I forgot to tell you this in the beginning, but what we typically do is we do about 30 minutes and then we go behind the paywall. And our people who I have on will sometimes have spicy takes to say, because only members can listen to those episodes, those parts of the episode. So not everyone can listen to it. It's not public. So we're going to go behind the paywall because we're at about 30 minutes and we can go for all the spicy takes. Do you have any spicy takes that you want to like hint at before we go behind the paywall to get people excited?
Oh my gosh, spicy takes. What give me an example
about music, maybe about the music industry. Do you have any spicy takes about the music industry that you're like, I can't stand this grinds my gears?
Man,
are you just so positive that nothing fazes you?
Stuff does faze me, brother. I'm driven and pretty optimistic most days, but I would say sometimes in the industry,
just
like
hint, though.
What
just hint.
What drives me nuts is no response. So,
okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. No response, like from people who like send songs to, or like just songs.
Not necessarily just even like sending a song, but it might even just be a message, or even people that I have their numbers. So,
just get them. All right.
Yeah.
We'll get them. We'll get them after that. Okay. So,
man.
Obviously, they can go to your website, which is basically, it's just Mitch Langley.
Yes. That's it. MitchLangley.com. So hard.
Way to own the entire domain for all Mitch Langleys. So you were the one who got it. Every other Mitch Langley is salty.
I went and got it, you know, 15 years ago. I was like, there's another Mitch Langley that, so somebody emailed him. Was like, is this Mitch Langley? And he told me, man, somebody sent me something. He thought it was you. And he's like, you're the dude that's on the music. I Googled you. You're like the musical Mitch Langley. He goes, I'm just like the nobody Mitch Langley. I just started laughing. I took the real MitchLangley.com. He couldn't have it. So
he's a little salty.
He's salty. He's like, whatever, man.
So you can have your URL. The cool thing on your website is if you just go to MitchLangley.com, there's all of your songs. All of the chord charts are free. Lyrics are free. Some of the multi-tracks aren't and are. The cool thing, too, is if you want to support Mitch, there's a link to a place called Generosity Rocks, and you can donate or subscribe to help, like, give them monthly. And so this is a great way to support an artist like Mitch if you want. So please do. If you're interested in his story and supporting him and his music, Generosity Rocks, go there, support him. It's really easy. You just go to the website, navigate, or you can just hit donate on his website, and it'll help hit you there. But
that's right. Thank you, brother, for that shameless plug.
And then also, they can find you on all the socials, Mitch Langley Music, right, on, like, Instagram and stuff
That's right. Absolutely. Well,